This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business with Nonuthando Ntonti Mlambo. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Fridays, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
All right, it's 17 minutes past 7 this evening. And of course, it is a Small Business Tuesday right here on Power Business. It means that we speak to SMMEs and we speak about SMMEs and entrepreneurship. And this evening, we're going to have a conversation with Kirsten Alexandra from Empower Entrepreneurs about how to convince investors to invest in your business. We know the issue of access to funding is one that all entrepreneurs often really, really battle with. And sometimes it's not that your business isn't good. It could be that you're battling to put the case together, or it could be that you're not ready, and these are all factors that you possibly need to consider. And so Kirsten does join us now on the line to unpack this one and give us a bit of a how-to. Kirsten, good evening to you, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Wonderful, Kirsten. Let's speak about, the issues of investors. How exactly can, people approach investors for assistance?
Okay, so we've done a whole lot of research and spoken to a whole lot of investors just in preparation for the Empower Entrepreneurs Funding Summit. And there's quite a few things that are absolutely important. The first one is know your business. I mean, that sounds obvious, but you really need to be able to answer everything backwards and forwards, whatever they ask you. So you need to know who your target market is. You need to know what problem you're solving, and if you weren't around, would people have a problem? Would they know that you're not around? And that's really important. Know exactly what it is you're selling, whether it's a service or a product. What is your unique selling proposition? So those are two very important things. But also know your market. So who are you selling this to, and why do they need it? Go deep. I mean, you can't just sort of say, well, I'm opening a sandwich shop because people get hungry. You need to say, these are times they get hungry, and this is what I'm offering them in my sandwich, because that's what makes it unique. So it's diving a lot deeper into just a mere idea that's on a napkin. Those are the very first parts that you need to. And it's really what it's a strong value proposition. And I really think what's important in investing in is enabling yourself to articulate what you're selling well. Everyone talks about an elevator speech, and that's something that you can express what your business is and why it's important in the time it takes you to go up in an elevator. And that's really important. Hone it so that you can get your ideas across very quickly. And if you practice it in front of your mirror, that's also not a bad thing either.
I'm also keen to hear about, issues of decks. We often hear about decks and, the importance of being able to put together a beautiful set of slides that are informative and punchy. Do these play a part at all, Kirsten?
Those are bells and whistles. I think the bottom line is, it's nice to have a good deck. It really is. And it's good to, and I must say in this case, less definitely is more. Don't inundate people with words on a slide. Just you can have one image and then talk to it. That is the most important thing. So it's being able to communicate your idea. Because if you need pictures to illustrate what you're doing, you're not explaining yourself properly. Obviously, when it's something very complicated and technical, you may need some diagrams, etc. But that's the second point. The second step, you've got to get in the room first, and by talking well and communicating well, that'll get you in the room, as long as you know your stuff. So invest in some good slides and images and do it right, but it's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill your opportunities if you're not a PowerPoint wizard.
We also hear of the issue of scale, and that can be a very intimidating one. In fact, a lack of scale, Kirsten, has actually killed many great ideas. Help us understand how important scale is for an investor.
So one of the questions that we ask on people who register for the Empower Entrepreneurs Funding Summit is, give us 150 words or less on how you plan to scale your business. It's vital, absolutely vital. Somebody is not going to invest in a business if it doesn't have an opportunity to grow. And that scalability is then absolutely vital. So that's definitely something that's very important to understand and to think about. How are you going to grow your business? And it doesn't have to be that you're just going to grow because it's a great product. You could have a scalability in terms of, we're honing this particular product or service, and once that's really perfected, we're going to add on this product or service. So it can be a new product or a new service that you're scaling with, or it could be a new market as well. So you don't have to think in terms of, I've got to grow. You've got to think strategically in terms of, how can I make this business scale? So if I've got one product, can I, in 3 years' time, have four products that are just as successful as product number one, or may even overtake product number one or service? So think out of the box in terms of that scale question as well. And forget about the capacity aspect. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can't scale because I don't have enough people. Yeah. The people will come. You know, you'll just begin and things will happen. If you've got the passion and you've got the right product or the right service and you want to move forward with it.
I also ask you about the issue of being able to articulate returns to investors. Might an investor want to know, how much of a return they'll make? With something that might be very difficult for an entrepreneur to articulate, particularly if they are passionate about an idea, but not really, financially strong.
So your financial savviness, you do need to know a little bit. What you need to know is the basics is, this is how much it costs me to do this thing, and this is how much I sell it for. That's a very, very basic sum. So it costs me 10 Rand to make. I sell it for 15 Rand. Therefore, I can make 5 Rand. Okay, so there's your return. But it gets complicated, obviously, because some of the it could be a cost that you're using to make something, but how you're marketing it. So that's also a cost as well. So it adds up in terms of that. But you don't have to worry about telling your investors what they'll get out of it, because your investor is going to know what they want out of it. When they have a look at your numbers and say, okay, this is how much you're spending and this is how much you're making, it's a very easy sum to do. But understanding all your costs, including your hidden costs, is very important. So if we're talking about marketing, if you're doing digital marketing and you sort of spend every evening between 7 and 8 pushing stuff out on Facebook, you'll think, oh, that's not actually costing me anything. It's just my time, but your time is worth something. And if you're going to scale, you're not going to be doing it yourself. You're going to have a social media manager to do it for you. So that then becomes a cost. So if you just understand all the activities that you're doing, those then become costs, and you can work it out from there.
Kirsten, let's also talk about the issue of the jockey, the horse, and the track, and if all three have to be working and maybe singing out of the same hymn book here, the jockey obviously being the actual entrepreneur themselves, their know-how, their skills, and their capacity to run and scale a business, the horse, which is the business itself, and then, of course, the track, the market.
Yeah, well, I mean, all those three things are absolutely vital. It's all very well to have a wonderful product, but if there's no market for it, it's not wonderful. As I said right at the beginning of this, you've got to know your market. You've got to know what it is you're giving them and why they want your service or your product. And understand that. It's absolutely vital.
Let's talk about thinking global and acting local.
Yeah, so that's a big one as well for investors. A lot of the people we've spoken to for the Empower Entrepreneur Funding Summit have said, we're looking for businesses that are local that can scale globally. And that's quite a big one. You sort of think, oh, I'm a small business. What? How am I going to go global? But global is not necessarily, overseas, Europe, America, and that sort of thing. It's cross-border. Mm. So if you have a product here or a service here that is really working for the local market, why can't it work for Botswana, for example? So we're not, let's think just Pan-African at the moment, and that thing becomes global. So it's a scary thing for a lot of people, but, you know, we, Africa is filled with unbelievable innovation and innovators. We've seen a lot of our fintech ideas go global. That ATMs, you know, those are South African. It's a small idea that if it's solving a problem, it's solving a fundamental human need, it can go global. If it's entirely localized, you know, a sandwich, for example, that could also go global if it's really special. You'll go on a different track for that, though.
I'm also keen to hear on, then, you know, funding minimum viable products. Sometimes you're a really passionate entrepreneur. You've thought about, you know, all the ins and outs. You might have even done all the costs, you know, who would buy your product, how much it would cost to make, and how much you would sell it for. But there's just no product at this point because maybe you don't have the money for that product. Are there places or is there a time when, you know, a funder would be able to come in at that level to help you put together an MVP, a minimum viable product? Or is it wise, you know, to really try maybe to get that funded by family, friends and fools to ensure that when you show up to an investor, you at least have tried the product yourself?
Yeah, look, it's a lot of entrepreneurs rely on family and friends to just fund it through. But as long as you have a prototype, you know, that's the first step if it's a product. But there are investors who are willing to do that, but very specific things. If your product or service is a disruptor, you know, and by disruptor, I mean, you know, if you've got some kind of gadget that you can hold in your hand and walk around and generate electricity from it, that's a disruptor. Somebody's gonna be interested in that. It's not as easy, but there are people, and I know everyone talks about angel investors, and everyone wants an angel in their life. And generally, those are the ones that are willing to take the biggest risks and can see the potential. But you've also got to be aware that every single different type of funder, and this is something we're going to unpack at the Empower Entrepreneur Funding Summit. Everyone gives you something different. So over and above funding, some of them will want equity in your business. Some of them will give you mentorship. Some of them will want to be in the business for a year or so. And while it sounds great for a young entrepreneur having someone in the business, it also means that sometimes your ideas are stymied because this person has got a very clear idea of the way they want this business to go. So it's not, you've really got to look around and see what suits you and your business and your personality. By nature, many entrepreneurs are people who want to do it themselves. So it's not easy for them to then come into a situation where somebody else telling them what to do or guiding them in a nicer way.
And before I let you go, Kirsten, investors can tell when somebody's being a chance taker, isn't it?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Investors can tell when an entrepreneur has come through as a bit of a chance taker.
Yes, of course they can. Mm-hmm. I think the majority of businesses, people who are investing in business, they see a lot of proposals all the time. And they also know exactly what they want. So you'll see, you'll sort of go to an investor and you'll give them your elevator speech and they'll say no. Mm-hmm. You'll go, well, wow. You didn't even listen to me, but they know exactly what they want. So, and to that point, if somebody says no, it doesn't mean the next person will either, as well. So keep trying.
Brilliant. Thank you. Go ahead.
But really have all your ducks in a row because you can't take chances. You'll just be laughed out the room.
Got you. Well, I think it's a very, very interesting advice you've given us this evening. Kirsten, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you so much. And please tell everyone to register for the Empower Entrepreneur Funding Summit.
Brilliant. And
we're looking forward to seeing you.
Awesome. We'll share all those details with our listeners, Kirsten. Thank you so much. That's Kirsten Alexander, producer at Empower Entrepreneurs.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.